so sorry." Death stalked in a dignified way into the centre of the room and watched the bursar expectantly. "I hope we are not going to have any of this foul fiend business again," he said. "I trust we're not interrupting any important enterprise," said the bursar politely. "All my work is important," said Death.
Naturally, said the bursar.
"To somebody."
The reason, sir, that we have called you here is for the reason..."
"It is Rincewind."
"What?"
"The reason you summoned me. The answer is, it is Rincewind."
"But we haven't asked you the question yet."
"Nevertheless, the answer is, it is Rincewind."
"Look, what we want to know is, what's causing this outbreak of..."
Death pointedly picked invisible particles off the edge of his scythe. The Arch-Chancellor cupped a gnarled hand over his ear.
"What did he say? Who's the fellow with the stick?"
"It's Death, Arch-Chancellor," said the bursar patiently.
"Eh?"
"It's Death, sir, you know."
"Tell him we don't want any," said the old wizard, waving his stick.
The bursar sighed.
"We summoned him, Arch-Chancellor."
"Is it? What are we going to do that for? Bloody silly thing to do."
The bursar gave Death an embarrassed grin. He was on the point of asking him to excuse the Arch-Chancellor on account of his age, but realised that this would, in the circumstances, be a complete waste of breath.
Are we talking about the wizard, Rincewind? The one with the..."
The bursar gave a shudder.
"Horrible luggage on legs? But he got blown up when there was all that business with the sorcerer, didn't he?"
The bursar was referring obliquely to the difficult occasion when the university very nearly caused the end of the world, and would in fact have done so had it not been for a chain of events involving Rincewind, a magic carpet, and a half brick and a sock. See sorcery. The whole affair was very embarrassing to wizards, as it always is to people who find out afterwards that they were on the wrong side all along, i.e. the one that lost. And it was remarkable how many of the university's senior staff were now adamant that at the time they'd been off sick, visiting their aunt, or doing research with the door locked while humming loudly, and had no idea what was going on outside. There had been some desultory talk about putting up a statue to Rincewind, but by the curious alchemy that tends to apply in these sensitive issues, this quickly became a plaque, then a note in the roll of honour, and finally a motion of censure for being improperly dressed.
"Into the dungeon dimensions. And now he is trying to get back home."
"Can he do that?"
"There would need to be an unusual conjunction of circumstances. Reality would need to be weakened in certain unexpected ways."
That isn't likely to happen, is it?"
said the bursar anxiously. People who have it on record that they were visiting their aunt for 2 months are always nervous about people turning up who may have mistakenly thought that they weren't, and, owing to some trick of the light, might have believed that they had seen them doing things that they couldn't have been doing owing to being at their aunt's.
"It would be a 1,000,000 to 1 chance," said Death. "Exactly a 1,000,000 to 1 chance."
"Oh," said the bursar, intensely relieved. "Oh, dear. What a shame."
He brightened up considerably.
"Of course. There's all the noise, but, unfortunately, I expect he won't survive for long."
"This could be the case," said Death blandly. "I am sure, though, that you would not wish me to make a practice of issuing definitive statements in this field."
No, of course not," said the bursar hurriedly. "Right, well, many thanks. Poor chap, what a great pity. Still, can't be helped. Perhaps we should be philosophical about these things."
"Perhaps you should."
"And we had better not keep you," the bursar added politely.
"Thank you."
"Goodbye."
"Be seeing you."
In fact, the noise stopped just before breakfast. The librarian was the only one unhappy about it. Rincewind had been his assistant and his friend, and was a good man when it came to peeling a banana. He had also been uniquely good at running away from things. He was not, the librarian considered, the type to be easily caught. There had probably been an unusual conjunction of circumstances. That was a far more likely explanation. There had been an unusual conjunction of circumstances. By exactly a 1,000,000 to 1 chance, there had been someone watching, studying, looking for the right tools for a special job.